'Tis deeply sworn. Sweet, leave me here a while, my spirits grow dull, and fain I would beguile the tedious day with sleep.
Sleep, rock thy brain, and never come a mischance between us twain.
Madam, how like you this play?
The lady doth protest too much, methinks.
Oh, but she'll keep her word.
Have you heard the argument? Is there no offense in?
No, they do but jest. Poison in jest. No offense in the world.
What do you call the play?
The Mousetrap. Marry how? Tropically. This play is the image of a murder done in Vienna. Gonzago is the Duke's name. His wife, Baptista, you shall see anon, is a knavish piece of work. But what of that? Your Majesty, and we that have free souls, it touches us not. Let the gold jade wince. Our withers are unwrung. This is one Lucianus, nephew to the king.
You are as good as a chorus, my lord.
I could interpret between you and your love if I could see the puppets dallying.
You are keen, my lord, you are keen.
Trust you to take off my edge.
Still better and worse.
So you mistake your husband's.
Begin, murderer! Hearts, leave thy damnable faces and begin! Come, the croaking raven doth bellow for revenge!
False black, hands apt, drugs fit, and time agreeing, confederate season, else no creature seeing, thou mixture rank, of midnight weeds collected, with Hecate's ban thrice blasted, thrice infected, thy natural magic and dire property on wholesome life usurp immediately.
He poisons him in the garden for his estate. His name's Gonzago. The story is extant and written in very choice Italian. You shall see anon how the murderer gets the love of Gonzago's wife.
The king rises.
What? Frighted with false fire?
How fares my lord?
Give o'er the play.
Give me some light! Away!
Why let the stricken deer go weep, the heart ungalled play, for some must watch while some must sleep, so runs the world away. Would not this, sir, and a forest of feathers, if the rest of my fortunes turn Turk with me, with two provincial roses on my raised shoes, get me a fellowship in a cry of players, sir?
Half a share.
A whole one eye. For thou dost know, O Damon dear, this realm dismantled was of Jove himself, and now reigns here a very, very peacock.
Oh, you might have rhymed.
Oh, good Horatio. I'll take the ghost word for £1,000. Didst perceive?
Very well, my lord.
Upon the talk of the poisoning.
I did very well note him.
Come, some music. Come, the recorders. For if the king like not the comedy, why then, belike, he likes it not, paddy. Come, some music.
Good my lord, if I accept me a word with you.
Sir, a whole history.
The king, sir.
Aye, sir. What of him?
He's in his retirement, marvellous, distempered.
With drink, sir?
No, my lord, rather with choler.
Your wisdom should show itself more richer to signify this to his doctor, for me to put him to his purgation would perhaps plunge him into far more choler.
But, my lord, put your discourse into some frame, and start not so wildly from my affair.
I am tame, sir. Pronounce.
The queen, your mother, in most great affliction of spirit, hath sent me to you.
You are welcome.
Nay, good my lord, this courtesy is not of the right breed. If it shall please you to make me a wholesome answer, I will do your mother's commandment. If not, your pardon and my return shall be the end of my business.
Sir, I cannot.
What, my lord?
Make you a wholesome answer.
My wit's diseased. But, sir, such answers as I can make you shall command, or rather, as you say, my mother.
Therefore, no more but to the matter. My mother, you say.
Then thus she says, your behavior hath struck her into amazement and admiration.
Oh, wonderful son that can so astonish a mother. But is there no sequel at the heels of this mother's admiration? Impart.
She desires to speak with you in her closet ere you go to bed.
We shall obey, were she 10 times our mother. Have you any further trade with us?
My lord, You once did love me.
So I do still by these pickers and stealers.
Good my lord, what is your cause of distemper? You do surely bar the door of your own liberty if you deny your griefs to your friend.
Sir, I lack advancement.
Oh, how can that be, when you have the voice of the king himself for your succession in Denmark?
Aye, sir, but while the grass grows, the proverb is something musty. Oh, the recorder, let me see.
To withdraw with you. Why do you go about to recover the wind of me as if you would drive me into a toil?
Oh, my lord, if my duty be too bold, my love is too unmannerly.
I do not well understand that. Will you play upon this pipe?
My lord, I cannot.
I pray you.
Believe me, I cannot.
I do beseech you.
No touch of it, my lord.
It is as easy as lying. Govern these vantages with your finger and thumb, give it breath with your mouth, and it will discourse most eloquent music. Look you, these are the stops.
But these cannot I command to any utterance of harmony. I have not the skill.
Why, look you now, how unworthy a thing you make of me. You would play upon me. You would seem to know my stops. You would pluck out the heart of my mystery. You would sound me from my lowest note to the top of my compass. And there is much music, excellent voice, in this little organ, yet cannot you make it speak? Blood, do you think that I am easier to be played on than a pipe? Call me what instrument you will, though you can fret me, yet you cannot play upon me. Oh, God bless you, sir.
My lord, the queen would speak with you, and presently.
Do you see yonder cloud that's almost in shape of a camel?
But, by the mass, it is like a camel indeed.
Methinks it is like a weasel.
It is backed like a weasel.
Or like a whale.
Very like a whale.
Then I will come to my mother by and by. They fool me to the top of my bent.
I will come by and by.
I will say so.
By and by is easily said. Leave me, friends.
My lord.
Tis now the very witching time of night, when churchyards yawn, and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink hot blood, and do such bitter business as the day would quake to look on. Soft, now to my mother. O heart, lose not thy nature. Let not ever the soul of Nero enter this firm bosom. Let me be cruel, not unnatural. I will speak daggers to her, but use none. My tongue and soul in this be hypocrites. How in my words some ever she be shent, to give them seals, never my soul consent.
Him not! Nor stands it safe with us to let his madness range.
Therefore prepare you. I, your commission, will forthwith dispatch, and he to England shall along with you. The terms of our estate may not endure hazard so dangerous as doth hourly grow out of his lunacies.
We will ourselves provide. Most holy and religious fear it is to keep those many, many bodies safe that live and feed upon your majesty.
Aye, the single and peculiar life is bound with all the strength and armor of the mind to keep itself from annoyance. But much more that spirit upon whose wheel depends and rests the lives of many. Yeah. The cease of majesty dies not alone, but like a gulf doth draw what's near it with it. Mm. It is a massy wheel fixed on the summit of the highest mount, to whose huge spokes 10,000 lesser things are mortised and adjoined, which, when it falls, each small annexment, petty consequence, attends the boisterous ruin. Yeah. Never alone did the king sigh, but with a general groan.
Arm you, I pray you, to this speedy voyage, for we will fetters put upon this fear, which now goes too free-footed.
We will haste us.
My lord, he's going to his mother's closet. Behind the arras, I'll convey myself to hear the process. I'll warrant she'll tax him home. And as you said, and wisely was it said, 'tis meet that some more audience than a mother, since nature makes them partial, should o'er hear the speech advantage. Fare you well, my liege. I'll call upon you ere you go to bed and tell you what I know.
Thanks, dear my lord.
Oh, my offense is rank.
It smells to heaven. It hath the primal eldest curse upon't, a brother's murder. Pray, can I not, though inclination be as sharp as will, my stronger guilt defeats my strong intent, and like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy but to confront the visage of offence? And what's in prayer but this twofold force to be forestalled ere we come to fall, or pardoned being down? Then I'll look up. My fault is past. But, oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder. That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder. My crown, mine own ambition, and my queen. May one be pardoned and retain the offence. In the corrupted currents of this world, offence's gilded hand may shove by justice, and oft is seen the wicked prize itself buys out the law. But 'tis not so above. There is no shuffling. There the action lies in his true nature, and we ourselves compelled even to the teeth and forehead of our faults to give in evidence. What then? What rests? Try what repentance can. What can it not? Yet what can it when one cannot repent? Oh, wretched state! Oh, bosom black as death! Oh, limed soul that, struggling to be free, art more engaged! Help, angels! Make a say! Bow, stubborn knees, and heart with strings of steel, be soft as sinews of the newborn babe. All may be well.
Now might I do it, Pat. Now he is a-praying. And now I'll do it. And so he goes to heaven. And so am I revenged. That would be scanned. A villain kills my father, and for that I his soul, son, do this same villain send to heaven? Oh, this is hire and salary, not revenge. He took my father grossly, full of bread, with all his crimes broad blown, as flush as May. And how his audit stands, who knows save heaven, but in our circumstance and course of thought, 'tis heavy with him. And am I then revenged to take him in the purging of his soul when he is fit and seasoned for his passage? No. Up, sword, and know thou a more horrid hent. When he is drunk, asleep, or in his rage, or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed, at gaming, swearing, or about some act that hath no relish of salvation in't, then trip him that his heels may kick at heaven, and that his soul may be as damned and black as hell whereto it goes. My mother stays. This physic but prolongs thy sickly days.
My words fly off. My thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go.
He will come straight. Look you, lay home to him. Tell him his pranks have been too broad to bear with, and that your grace has screened and stood between much heat and him. I'll silence me even here. Pray you be round with him.
I warrant you fear me not. Withdraw behind the arras. I hear him coming.
Now, oh, mother. What's the matter?
Hamlet, thou hast thy father much offended.
Mother, you have my father much offended.
Come, come, you answer with an idle tongue.
Go, go, you question with a wicked tongue.
Why, how now, Hamlet?
What's the matter
have
now?
Have you forgot me?
No, by the rood, not so. You are the queen, your husband's brother's wife. And would it were not so, you are my mother.
Nay, then, I'll set those to you that can
how
speak.
How can I sit you down?
You shall not budge. You go not till I set you up a glass where you may see the inmost part of you.
What will thou do? Huh? Thou wilt not murder me. Huh? Oh, help! Huh? Help!
Help! Help!
Hannah!
Help!
A rat! Dead for a ducat! Dead!
Oh, me! What hast thou done?
Nay, I know not. Is it the king?
Oh, what a rash and bloody deed is this!
A bloody deed, almost as bad, good mother, as kill a king and marry with his brother.
As kill a king?
Aye, lady, 'twas my word.
Thou wretched,
rash, intruding fool! Farewell. I took thee for thy better. Take thy fortune. Thou findest to be too busy as some danger. Leave wringing of your hands. Psst. Sit you down, and let me wring your heart, for so I shall if it be made of penetrable stuff, if damned custom have not brassed it so that it is proof and bulwark against sense.
What have I done that thou darest wag thy tongue in noise so rude against me?
Such an act that blurs the grace and blush of modesty, calls virtue hypocrite, takes off the rose from the fair forehead of an innocent love and sets a blister there, makes marriage vows as false as dice's oaths, or such a deed as from the body of contraction plucks the very soul and sweet religion makes a rhapsody of words. Heaven's face doth glow, yea, this solidity and compound mass with tristful visage as against the doom is thought sick at the act.
I mean, what act that roars so loud and thunders in the index?
Look here upon this picture, huh? And on this.
A counterfeit presentment of two brothers.
See what a grace was seated on his brow. Hyperion's curls, the front of Jove himself. An eye like Mars to threaten or command. A station like the herald Mercury, new lighted on a heaven-kissing hill. A combination and a form indeed where every god did seem to set his seal to give the world assurance of a man. This was your husband.
Look you now what follows. Here is your husband, like a mildewed ear, blasting his wholesome brother. Have you eyes? Could you on this fair mountain leave to feed and batten on this moor?
Have you eyes?
You cannot call it love, for at your age the heyday and the blood is tame, it's humble, and waits upon the judgment.
And what judgment would stoop from this to this? Sense sure you have, else you could not have motion. But sure that sense is apoplexed, for madness would not err, nor sense to ecstasy was ne'er so thralled, but it reserved some quantity of choice to serve in such a difference. What devil was there that thus hath cozened you at hoodman blind?
Eyes without feeling, feeling without sight, ears without hands or eyes, smelling sounds all, or but a sickly part of one true sense could not so mope.
Oh, shame! Where is thy blush?
Rebellious hell, if thou canst mutine in a matron's bones, to flaming youth let virtue be as wax and melt in her own fire. Proclaim no shame when the compulsive ardor gives the charge, since frost itself as actively doth burn, and reason panders will.
Oh, Hamlet, speak no more. Thou turn'st mine eyes into my very soul. And there I see such black and grained spots as will not leave their tink.
Nay, but to live in the rank sweat of an inseamed bed, stewed in corruption, honeying and making love over the nasty sty.
Oh, speak to me no more. These words like daggers enter in mine ears. No more, sweet
a murderer Hamlet. And a villain, a slave that is not 20th part the tithe of your precedent lord, a vice of kings, a cut purse of the empire and the rule, that from a shelf the precious diadem stole and put it in his pocket.
No more!
A king of shreds and patches!
your wings, you heavenly gods. What would you, gracious figure?
He's mad.
Not you come your tardy son to chide, but lapsed in time and passion. Let's go by the important acting of your dread command. Oh, say.
Do not forget. This visitation is but to whet thy almost blunted purpose. But look, amazement on thy mother sits. Oh, step between her and her fighting soul. Conceit in weakest bodies, strongest works. Speak to her, Hamlet.
How is it with you, lady?
Alas, how is it with you? That you do bend your eye on vacancy, and with the incorporeal air do hold discourse. For that your eyes, your spirits wildly peep, and as the sleeping soldiers in the alarm, your bedded hair, like life in excrement, start up and stand on end. Oh, gentle sun! Upon the heat and flame of thy distemper, sprinkle cool patience. Whereon do you look?
On him! Look you, how pale he glares! His form and cause conjoined, preaching to stones would make them capable. Do not look upon me, lest with this piteous action you convert my stern effects. Then what I have to do will want true colour. Tears, perchance, for blood.
To whom do you speak this?
Do you see nothing there?
Nothing at all. Yet all that is, I see.
Nor did you nothing hear?
No, nothing but ourselves.
Why, look you there. Look how it steals away.
My father, in his habit as he lived.
Look where he goes, even now, out at the portal.
This is a very coinage of your brain. Huh? This bodiless creation, ecstasy, is very cunning in...
Ecstasy.
My pulse, as yours, doth temperately keep time, and makes us healthful music. It is not madness that I have uttered. Bring me to the test, and I the matter will reword which madness would gamble from. Mother, for love of grace, lay not that flattering unction to your soul, that not your trespass, but my madness speaks. It will but skin and film the ulcerous place, whilst rank corruption, mining all within, infects unseen. Confess yourself to heaven. Repent what's past, avoid what is to come, and do not spread the compost or the weeds to make them ranker.
Forgive me this, my virtue. For in the fatness of these pursy times, virtue itself of vice must pardon beg. Yea, curb and woo for leave to do him good.
Oh, Hamlet, thou hast cleft my heart in twain.
Oh, throw away the worser part of it, and live the purer with the other half. But go not to my uncle's bed.
Assume a virtue if you have it not. That monster custom, who all sense doth eat of habits vile, is angel yet in this, that to the use of actions fair and good, he likewise gives a frock or livery that aptly is put on, refrains the night, and that shall lend a kind of easiness to the next abstinence, the next more easy, for use almost can change the stamp of nature, and either shame the devil, or throw him out with wondrous potency. Once more, good night. And when you are desirous to be blessed, I'll blessing beg of you.
For this same Lord I do repent. But heaven hath pleased it so to punish me with this and this with me, that I must be their scourge and minister. I will bestow him, and will answer well the death I gave him. So again, good night. I must be cruel only to be kind. Thus bad begins, and worse remains behind. One word more, good lady.
What shall I do?
Not this. By no means that I bid you do.
Let the bloat king tempt you again to bed. Pinch wanton on your cheek, call you his mouse, and let him for a pair of reachy kisses or paddling in your neck with his damned fingers make you to ravel all this matter out that I essentially am not in madness, but mad in craft. 'Twere good you let him know. For who that's but a queen, fair, sober, wise, would from a paddock, from a bat, a jib, such dear concernings hide? Who would do so? No, in despite of sense and secrecy, unpeg the basket on the house's top, let the birds fly, and like the famous ape, to try conclusions, in the basket creep, and break your own neck down.
Be thou assured, if words be made of breath, and breath of life, I have no life to breathe what thou hast said to me.
I must to England, you know that.
Oh, alack, I had forgot. 'Tis so concluded on.
There's letters sealed, and my two schoolfellows, whom I will trust as I will adders fanged, they bear the mandate. They must sweep my way and marshal me to knavery. Let it work. But 'tis the sport to have the engineer hoist with his own petard, and 'twill go hard, but I will delve 1 yard below their mines and blow them at the moon.
Oh, 'tis most sweet when in one line two crafts directly meet.
This man shall set me packing. I'll lug the guts into the neighbor room. Mother, good night indeed. This counselor is now most still, most secret, and most grave, who was in life a foolish, prating knave. Come, sir, to draw toward an end with you. Good night, mother.
There's matter in these sighs, these profound heaves. You must translate, 'tis fit we understand them. Where is your son?
Bestow this place on us a little while.
Good madam.
Madam.
Ah, oh, my good lord, what have I seen tonight?
What, Gertrude? How does Hamlet?
Mad as the sea and wind when both contend, which is the mightier. In his lawless fit behind the arras, hearing something stir, whips out his rapier, cries, "A rat! A rat!" And in his brainish apprehension kills the unseen good old man.
Oh, heavy deed! It had been so with us, had we been there. His liberty is full of threats to all, to you yourself, to us, to everyone. Alas, how shall this bloody deed be answered? It will be laid to us, whose providence should have kept short, restrained, and out of haunt this mad young man. But so much was our love, we would not understand what was most fit, but like the owner of a foul disease, to keep it from divulging, let it feed even on the pith of life. Where is he gone?
To draw apart the body he hath killed. O'er whom his very madness, like some ore among a mineral of metals base, shows itself pure. He weeps for what is done.
Oh, Gertrude, come away. The sun no sooner shall the mountains touch, but we will ship him hence. And this vile deed, we must with all our majesty and skill both countenance and excuse. Ho, Guildenstern.
My lord.
Friends, both, go join you with some further aid. Hamlet, in madness, hath Polonius slain, and from his mother's closet hath he dragged him. Go, seek him out, speak fair, and bring the body into the chapel. I pray you, haste in this.
Yes, my lord.
Come, Gertrude. We'll call up our wisest friends to let them know both what we mean to do and what's untimely done.
For, haply, slander, whose whisper o'er the world's diameter as level as the cannon to his blank transports his poison shot, may miss our name and hit the woundless air. Oh, come away.
Oh.
My soul is full of discord and dismay.